It's Wednesday, and it's time for our Neighbors in Action segment, where we feature people and organizations working to make our community a better place. This week, we feature the Gift of Life, which facilitates organ donorship in Michigan. Here to tell us more about Gift of Life is the organization's communication specialist, Betsy Miner-Swartz. Hi, Betsy.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for being here. And joining her is Patty Jo Herndon, president of the Michigan Donor Family Council and a sister of an organ donor. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tell us, Betsy, tell us more about Gift of Life and what you do and how you operate.
We help donors fulfill their wishes. So we work statewide. We're a nonprofit. We are the link between hospitals and transplant centers. So we go into hospitals when someone is in a place where organ donation is potential, and we talk with families. We also work with the hospital and the transplant centers to help facilitate the organ donation and get the organs and tissue where they need to be. Okay. So transplant centers.
You work primarily with donors, though. And how does the recipient play out?
Yeah, we're absolutely on the donor end.
Okay.
So then we work with the transplant centers to work the match and find the recipients that should receive the organs, and we help the transplant centers get the organs there. So,
how much participation is there in Michigan in organ donorship? Is there a shortage? Is it adequate?
Yes, there's a shortage, and no, it isn't adequate. So we have a couple things going on that we hope will correct themselves at some point. We have an increase in the number of people waiting in Michigan for organ transplants. So, say, like in 2006, about 2,600 people were waiting. And this week, we're touching 3,150 people who need some sort of a life-saving transplant. At the same time, number of donors statewide and nationwide actually are decreasing. So we have sort of two things going on at once that aren't great.
Increased demand and decreased supply.
Absolutely.
Patty Jo, you had to make the decision to donate your sister's organs. Tell us about that.
My sister was 38 years old. Her name's Ellen Sullivan, and she'd been suffering from headaches, but she hadn't gone to the doctors. And one day she was found unconscious in her home, and we rushed her to the hospital, and it was discovered she had a brain aneurysm. The doctors recommended that she be airlifted to one of two hospitals. And in the meantime, while they were making those arrangements, she took a turn for the worse, and she had no brain activity. And so she had not signed up on the registry, but she had mentioned a couple months prior to that to us that if anything ever happened to her, that she would like to donate her organs. She had seen a piece on the news one day, and she wanted to do that.
Okay.
So, of course, we fulfilled her wish. It was difficult because you're sitting in an emergency room learning that your sister's dying and that she's not going to make it.
Of course.
And you're having to make that decision.
Of course.
So it's, in terms of making that decision ahead of time, you're giving your family a gift by saying, yes, I'd like to be a donor and sign up on the registry. So that takes that out of their hands. They don't have to deal with that at the moment. But my sister saved and enhanced a lot of lives. She had four small children when she died that my husband and I raised with our children. And everyone in my family does everything we can to share our story and let everyone know that my sister and all other donors are heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saved lives. The way I look at it for my sister is she taught me a lot of things during my life, how to be a good person, how to be a good parent. But in the final moments of her life, she unselfishly made a decision to save other lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of a bigger hero than that.
There are these magical connections that exist between donors and recipients, Betsy Miner-Swartz. Tell us about one of them that you're aware of.
Magical connections?
Yes.
Are you talking about like families that meet their recipients?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible, and it happens every day, for donor families and recipients to meet. There's a woman named Barb Gerber whose daughter was killed in Toronto, and she was a donor. Barb was able to meet her daughter's heart recipient and
put her heart to the chest.
Barb did put her heart to the chest
and heard her daughter's heart beating.
Again.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, and honestly, heart recipients and families, that happens a lot. It happens a lot where the heartbeat is heard again. And for those families, it helps them heal and get through their grief so much easier.
Tell us more about the what organs are in most demand.
Kidneys are in the most demand. About 80% of the people who are on a waiting list in this country are waiting for kidneys.
And what accounts for the increasing demand and the decreasing, more importantly, I suppose, the decreasing supply?
Well, the increasing demand probably is because of the decreasing supply. The other thing that's going on nationwide is there's a lot of hypertension and obesity. A lot of that is taking its toll on kidneys, people's kidneys and pancreas. A lot of those health issues that are going on all over the place are really adding numbers to the waiting list. So the other thing that's going on is there are fewer donors all over the country. It's hard to put your finger exactly on the reason for that, but there's some thought that doctors are doing a better job saving lives today than ever before.
Oh, okay.
So that makes sense.
Patty Joe, have you established a connection with any of the recipients of your sister's organs?
No, unfortunately, we haven't. We have had an opportunity to meet many recipients. They weren't my sister's recipients, but it warmed our hearts as well as my sister's children's heart, because you see people who take this gift they've received and they live an incredibly good life, and they make sure they give back to their communities in every way they can. Obviously, promoting organ donation as well as just being wonderful citizens. So they enhance our communities every single day.
In situations like Patty Joe's, Betsy, where there was this sudden, serious medical emergency, and Patty Joe could testify to the fact that her sister had talked about organ donation. Is that how complicated does that scenario get in an emergency situation? Mm. It sounds really stressful. But are hospitals accustomed to dealing with this?
Yeah, they are, and it's not really complicated. I mean, I guess it can be in specific situations where family members don't necessarily aren't all on the same page. But it's emotional, and it's emotion on top of emotion for those families.
Sure.
We have Gift of Life has a staff of trained nurses and other medical professionals who go out into the hospitals every single day and talk with families. So they're really, really good at listening and understanding and helping families make the best decision for them.
Patty Joe, tell me about what are the common concerns you're aware of that make people hesitate with regard to organ donation?
I think the biggest one, and I hear this a lot, is that doctor, if you have the heart on your driver's license, once you sign up on the registry, you'll have a heart on your Michigan driver's license. That indicates that you have signed up on the organ donor registry. And a lot of people think that if a doctor knows that their wish is to become an organ donor, that they won't do everything they can to save their lives, which is absolutely not true. If that were true, I wouldn't be sitting here today promoting this, because I saw what these doctors went through when my sister died and the nursing staff. When my sister died, they did everything they could to save her life. When I walked out of the room after saying goodbye to my sister, obviously she was already dead. She had no brain activity, but the machines were keeping her alive.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked out of the room, the doctor, the seven interns, and all the nurses were literally standing there waiting for me. They held my hand and said, what an incredible gift I had just given at such a terrible time in my life, which was true, obviously. They were devastated and crying that they could not save her life. Obviously, it's doctors take an oath to save an individual's life. Secondly, they're people with emotions. They felt what we were losing. At the same time, they knew they were able to save other lives, but that wasn't their goal. They're a completely separate team of doctors who save your life as to the transplant physicians. That's a federal law. They can't be working together on that.
Okay.
So that's what I usually tell people, unless Betsy wants to add something to that. That's what I explain to people. It's two separate sets of physicians, so they don't work together to say, well, I need this organ, those kinds of things. The first set does everything they can to save that person's life. If I didn't believe that 120%, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Number one myth.
It is.
Okay. Which you just talked about. They won't save my life if they know I'm an organ donor.
How about that? Betsy Miner-Swartz, how is Gift of Life funded?
We are funded. We get some Medicare dollars. We're a nonprofit. We're the only organ recovery organization in the state of Michigan. So we work for the state, and other states have a similar Gift of Life Michigan.
How do people get involved?
Get involved.
How can they support you in any way?
Sign up on the registry.
Okay, actually sign up for organ donation.
You can go to the Secretary of State office. You can go to giftoflifemichigan.org. If you don't have a red heart emblem on your license, get one today. We don't need money. We need people to make decisions to save others' lives.
Betsy Miner-Swartz is the communication specialist for Gift of Life. We were also joined by Patty Jo Herndon, the sister of an organ donor and president of the Michigan Donor Family Council. Betsy and Patty Jo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
We could always use more nominations, and we know there are great people and organizations out there doing great work, and we just don't know about them. If you'd like to be featured on our Neighbors in Action segment, send us an email, currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work that they do. Coming up Thursday on Current State, Interim Lansing Police Chief Mike Yankowski talks about his new position. We also take a look at artist and teacher Carl Goode's first art exhibit in over 20 years. All that and more Thursday on Current State. The executive producer of our program is Peter Worf. Current State's producer is Jolynn Stroth. Thanks also to producer Emmanuel Berry, Aaron Young for engineering, and Becky McKendry for production assistance. I'm Mark Bayshore. You've been listening to Current State on WKAR.